The scripture reading for this afternoon you can find in two readings of the book of Psalms. The first six verses of Psalm 18, which serves as a background for the next reading, that is Psalm 61. So Psalm 18, the verses 1 to 6, and Psalm 61. The word of the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the comfort of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, it was in 1775 that a pastor, a hymnwriter, was caught in a fiery storm, and he took shelter in the gap of a mountain rock. And then he reflects on his journey and that mountain rock. And then he writes later in 1775 in the Gospel magazine in England, he writes this: Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And for the hymnwriter, that rock of ages, that rock was Christ, his shelter, his strong tower, his place of refuge. So the question for this afternoon for each of us: is Christ your rock? Your rock. In life's journey, times when you are caught in the storms of life, as we heard this morning, when your heart is overwhelmed, when you cry from the end of the earth and it seems no one listens, no one hears. But also when you may know by grace, cannot deny this in your life, as feeble as it might be, struggling as it can be at times, rock of ages, cleft for me. And therefore let us turn to Psalm 61. Only these first four verses. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter of me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Sila. Congregation, this psalm speaks of a crying prayer and caring protection, but also overwhelming tension, but also abiding trust. And this psalm shows us, and my prayer is that you may see it this afternoon, why we need Christ as your rock. Who he is, Christ as a rock, and in the third place, how this ought to transform us. This personal acquaintance of having Christ as your rock, how does it now translate in your life? Does Christ the rock cleft for me? Why we need him, who he is, and how this ought to transform us. Young people, why do we need Christ as your rock in your life? Well, we have heard, here is one who cries to God. Hear me, listen me, bend an ear to my prayer, verse 1. Cries to God from the end of the earth, verse 2. Here is one who feels that God is distant. Experience a lack of God's presence. Who feels remote from God, his people, the church. And who does not feel that at times? And you go through the motions coming to church. But is God's presence, is his nearness experienced? Or you go through challenging times, illnesses, when you hear the medical news, no treatment possible. Or you deal with depression, that often secret that is not discussed among us. Well, the anxiety and depression has so much increased over the last couple of years. Particularly among our young people. Congregation, let us not think this passed by our congregations, our families, parents. And sometimes we don't have the answers. But can we still listen to our children full of anxiety? Who does not feel at times, where is God? And when your marriage is not as it was before. And it doesn't mean there are problem-free marriages in this world. There are two flawed people brought together, still struggling with remaining sin. But when there are money problems or childcare issues or how to raise your children or the daily stress or the busy schedules or poor communication among you, forgetting the simple but so needful questions. How are you? How was your day? Showing actually that you care for the other. Where is God? When life is overwhelming. Verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed. And the word in the original points to something to be feeble, faint, gross faint, fainting away, shrouded, wrapped, covered, feeling enveloped, surrounded by darkness, overwhelmed. Be honest this afternoon. Who does not feel that at times? With the loss of a loved one, with concerns about your children, their choices in life, overwhelmed by the turmoil in this world? Or with the words of what we have read, the Psalm 18, a psalm that resonates with our text words. Eh? But in psalmist is surrounded by enemies, sorrows compassed in floods, overwhelmed. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. When was it the last time that you cried to God? And the psalms are full, eh? Psalm 77, my spirit was overwhelmed. We even have a prayer dedicated to people that are afflicted. Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poured out his complaint before the Lord. Jonah, surrounded, covered in darkness, in the belly of the fish, when my soul fainted within me. Do you still follow me? Times that you wonder, where is God in all of this? Those times that it seems that God has forsaken and forgotten you, and the cry of the heart is, why art thou so far from helping me? And it seems no one helps. I cry by day, but thou answer not, and it seems no one listens. And by night, I find no rest. That Job's word becomes your word, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. Do you see your need? Need of a rock, because everything is fleeting. A shelter, a place of refuge. Does your need brings you, turns you to the Lord? Eh? First one, hear my cry, O God. First two, from the end of the earth, I cry unto thee. Does your need, whatever that is, does that drive out to him? One more aspect before we continue. To see your need for Christ as your rock in your life. Your sin. Don't step over it. Sin separates from God. Young people, sin is not an abstract concept. Something to rationalize. Sin is real. And yes, beginning to discuss about your sin can be overwhelming. But sin is serious. It offends a good doing God, who is so gracious also this afternoon and invites you, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, come now. Let us settle the matter. And whatever sin that is in your life, lust or pride or whatever sin you battle with in your life, struggle with, it brings a separation between the Lord and your soul. That is an objective truth, young people. Does not the Lord remind us in Isaiah 59, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. But do you know that also subjectively, that is, you experience this separation between you and a good doing God, this distance between him and your soul. Now, when you cannot deny that, that is His grace in your life, because it is only by grace, when your eyes are opened, that you begin to really see who you are in yourself before a living God. And Bunyan writes in his Pilgrim's Progress, as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there arises in his soul many fears and doubts, discouraging apprehensions. You begin to experience. And congregation, I don't know you, but when the Lord has discovered you, who He is, and who you are before Him, when He has revealed Himself through His Word, then you begin to experience, and I think that experience will never leave your life. And I'm speaking about the principle of it, not the profundity, the depth of it. What I mean is this, what the apostle said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. Do you still follow me? Because I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Oh, wretched man that I am. This cry, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Do you see your need? You need to be delivered from your sin, to be cleansed from your sin. Yeah, even those times when you cry to the Lord, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. When your heart is overwhelmed with guilt and with shame, seeing your sin, and in need of a Savior. A time with the words of Psalm 107, that are beginning your words and experience, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, and 19th century Baptist preacher in London, write on this text, waves of trouble and affliction are all over me. It is all over me. It encompasses me as a cloud. It swallows me up like a sea. It shuts me in thick darkness. Yet God is near. Near enough to hear my voice. I will call upon Him. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Lead me. And congregation, it is hard to pray when your heart is drowning and overwhelmed. The experience, this reality, I cry to Him, but I'm confused and the distance of Him is felt from the ends of the earth. Those times I seem to be my refuge, sure and strong, but at the same time I feel so feeble and faint, waves are over me in doubt and temptation, and the rock is too high for me. But you cannot miss Him anymore. You need Him more. And therefore you pray and plead with Him, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I read in preparing this sermon, a seeking soul should at once believe in Jesus. I say at once. But it is legitimate for you to ask to be led to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is able to effect such leading. That same Augustus Toplady wrote in the Gospel magazine. He wrote a preface to this well-known hymn. He writes, "Do not despair. Pray afresh to God who is able to raise you up and set you on your feet again. Look to the blood of the covenant and say to the Lord, from the depths of your heart, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Now, who is then Christ, this rock of ages? Because Psalm 61 also shows us that. Verse 2, he is a rock, a shelter, a strong tower. Or more personal this afternoon, a shelter for me. All these verses are personal. He's not talking about someone else, not your neighbor in the pew. My cry to God, my prayer, I cry to him, my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me. I will abide in his tabernacle. I will trust under his wing. Is that who Christ is for you? Or with the words of Psalm 18 that we have read, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. To whom else shall you go? We are caught in the storms of life. When your heart is overwhelmed, when you cry from the end of the earth, because of the challenges in your life, even now, maybe of marriage strains or of sorrow and grief over the loss of a loved one, to whom will you go? When God feels distant, when you miss the experience of the Lord's presence, when you feel remote from God, his people, the church, times that you are perplexed, when you're overwhelmed with guilt and shame, seeing your sin. Ah, friends, here is Christ, who left the place of glory, that heavenly sanctuary, the tabernacle, left a place of the presence and communion with his Father, so that you can and will abide in his tabernacle, be in his presence, and can have communion with him. You who cried from the end of the earth, for you who feels at times that God is so distant, for Christ's sake, to commune with him, converse with him in your prayer, pour out your soul before him. God is a refuge for us. Having communion with him through his word, that the word of Christ dwell richly in you. And that for your poor condition, that is that you give heed to his voice. Also this afternoon, where he stands at the door and he knocks once again. If any man hear his voice and opens the door, this is his promise: I will come to him and will sup to him, and he with me, having communion with him. Those times that you can sing or sigh in sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest within thine own to keep me near thy sight. Oh, here is Christ, who was overwhelmed in the garden of Gethsemane. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, so that you can and will be strengthened and comforted for his sake. Oh, here is Christ himself, who prayed at Golgotha, who cried out at the cross with an infinite distance from his Father and was not heard. so that you can and will be heard, even from the ends of the earth, for his sake. Christ, who felt the enemies in his life and was surrounded by them at the cross, of whom was foretold, Psalm 18, sorrows of death compass me, the floods of the ungodly men make me afraid, the sorrows of hell compass me about, the snares of death prevented me, so that you may have a strong tower from the enemy, whoever that is, whatever enemy you may have, so that you will and can be comforted in your sorrow and grief. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted, for Christ's sake. O, see then Christ, who is the rock, who lifts you up above the circumstances of life, challenging as they may be, and nothing seems to be permanent, and the waves of trials and testings are over you, and he sets you up a rock, and the rock is Christ. O, see then Christ, who is the shelter, the hiding place, a refuge, a place of protection, a place of care, when you feel vulnerable and weak and feeble. Oh, then is it Christ who prays for such one as you are, even now, this interceding high priest, where he abides forever with the Father. And verse 7, he shall abide before God forever. And he intercedes, he prays, advocate for each of his children, even now. That your faith fails not, and that in the midst of the storm, when you are confused, when you are overwhelmed, when you feel distant from him, but that you begin to experience when you cry unto the Lord in your trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. Experience this poor man, this poor woman cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, see then Christ, afresh and anew, or for the first time, your shelter, your strong tower, the rock of ages, in all his suitableness, in all his willingness, able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives. Oh, see him in his mercy, rich and undeserved mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with you according to your sins, has not punished you according to your iniquities, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Oh, see him in his willingness and ability to save you. Christ is more willing, says a pastor of the 17th century, he is more willing to save sinners than sinners are willing to be saved by him. Oh, see him then this afternoon in his promises and his invitation to come to him with this promise: he or she that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. See him with his precious blood, that blood that cleanses you from all your sins. Seeing me in his dying love on the cross, cleft, and that for me, for such one as you are. Oh, friends, it has been freely prepared. It must be freely received. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be added. Oh, see him this afternoon as your complete and able and willing Savior, so that you may experience afresh and anew not the labors of my hands, as Horatius Bonar once wrote, can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. Oh, then you begin to experience something anew. My Savior, he has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I shall never be moved. Should that not transform you? Our last thoughts. In other words, if you cannot deny that Christ was revealed to your overwhelmed soul, so that you take refuge in him, seeking your life outside of yourself. I leave you with three implications to remember. First, what I mean is this: remember to direct your life with all its needs to God. When you are overwhelmed, that it is times of adversity or times of prosperity. Here is one in the psalm who did go through a challenging time, but remember, he turned to the Lord. Oh God, hear my prayer, attend to my prayer. My heart is overwhelmed, but I cry to thee. So that you, in whatever situation or circumstance of life that you have or face, shall you turn to the Lord. And yes, you may begin to understand the psalmist, oh God, thou knowest how I feel, how overwhelmed I am, but oh God, and that is so undeserved. But for Christ's sake, oh Lord, hear me, attend to me. Congregation, be honest this afternoon, and so often we try to figure out our problems and our challenges in life first. And if nothing seems to work, then we turn to the Lord. But see the order of the psalmist. Hear, O God, attend to my prayer. That first, God, the Lord. And then second, his issue, an overwhelmed heart. And therefore remember, also for this new week, with all your needs, small or great, direct your life to him. Turn to him. He is a God who hears. Young people, talk to God's people. That is, there are people that have nothing in themselves. They seek their life in Christ, and they sit at times here at the Lord's table. Talk to God's people. There is a prayer hearing God. The God who pays attention. There's his promise. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Shall we remember? Second, remember the past. Recall the past. That is, recalling the past dealings of the Lord with you. If you cannot deny his grace. And not recalling your past. Fractured and complicated as it might be. But if you cannot deny who he was for such one as you. And verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been a strong tower from the enemy. He remembers, he recalls, thou have been a shelter, a stronghold for me. And therefore, now he is overwhelmed. He cries out to the same God of the past. Oh God, hear me. Attend to my prayer. And notice, his perspective of the circumstances changes completely. He remembers, he recalls, thou hast been. And then immediately the next verse, I will abide. I will take refuge. And that gives him to say in verse 8, I will sing Do you still follow me? Only and because of that unchangeable, rock solid rock of ages, Christ, this covenant keeping Lord. The past, the present will be the same. Shall we remember? Unknown future is the same forever and ever. For I am the Lord, I change not. And therefore, you sons, you daughters of Jacob, I'm not consumed. Remember to turn to the Lord also this new week, particularly when you're overwhelmed and in need. Cry out, oh God. Remember often who he has been for you in the past. And then I ask each of you, when you have received a place at the Lord's table, when you cannot deny his grace in your life, then I ask, look back tonight, this afternoon. Can you not testify that he has been a shelter to you? Has he not been your strength and a strong tower to you? Or have you not known? Have you not heard that it is the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable, yes. But, remember, can you not testify? He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. And lastly, remember also to commune with him, trust in him, in Christ. Verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle, that is to be in his presence. Now, how will you be in his presence? That is first to be in his word. And practically speaking, daily reading your Bible. To hear his word, coming to church, the preaching on Sunday. Or young people on podcast during the week. Young people, when you see that boy or girl, and you like her or you love him, and you want to be in his or her presence. You want to have a conversation. You want to commune with him or her. And so it is with the Lord. When you want to be in his presence, commune with him, be in his word. Soaked in his word. So that you may know him more. And see more of yourself in light of him. The psalmist says, I will trust under his wings. Now, I assume here in Ontario it is like in Michigan, but in the springtime you see all those birds, those young birds under the feathers of a mother bird. Eh? Safe, comfortable, happy, how they rest under protecting and caring feathers. How much, much more. Trust. That means to lean, to rest on Christ, experiencing the Lord's care and protection, trusting under his wing. That is when you cannot deny his gracious work in you. Those times he heard my voice and my supplication, a refuge. Thou hast been for me. That is to trust, to rest in Christ, to live out of him and to lean on him. And then the last word of our text words is Sila. The end of verse 4. That is to pause for a moment. Pause for a moment. Maybe it is you. You have heard these verses of the psalm. and you have listened, but you have all kinds of objections. Will God really hear my prayer? Is my cry to him good enough? Is he really a shelter, a refuge for me? Am I really welcome by him? If you knew my life, my past, if you knew my sin, maybe secret sins. Friend, if that is you, whatever objection you have raised, whatever objection you may have, this is his offer to you. This God and no one else upholds you when you are overwhelmed. This God, he hears the needy when they cry. This God and only this God is your salvation. Will you reject that? If that is you, I plead with you. Don't delay. Take refuge in him. Your shelter from the stormy blast. Your rock also cleft for you. Pause also for a moment when you have heard these verses of this psalm again this afternoon, and that you may say by grace, so it is. Remember, recall often this psalm as it speaks of the life of grace. I cry, I abide, I trust, I sing. Why? Only and because he hears, he leads, and he shelters for Christ's sake. O rock of ages, cleft for me. Amen.